Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. I'm at Joel Pearl, and it's May the 30th. It's time for your TNA Impact post-show on Being Quiet, because tonight I'm in a library. Not a public library, but a library that is in my building. And so I'm trying to make sure people don't, you know, wake up and get annoyed with me. Anyway, Cresta Starr is here, as she always is. Hello, Cresta Starr. I was about to say good morning. I feel like it's the morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. When you said I'm in the library, I could think of was Chelsea Green.
Oh, yeah. This is former Impact star, Knockout star, Chelsea
True.
Green.
That's right. Chelsea Green, who went through some tables with Deonna Purrazzo. Chelsea Green. That Chelsea Green.
The best. Anyway, listen, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. TNA Impact was a show. Listen, I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't think it was the best show they've ever done, but I think there was a good amount of storyline development heading into Against All Odds. The big story right now in TNA is the fact that Jordynne Grace is really the champion of champions in TNA. So why not play with that? Let's dive right into that, shall we? She's not on the show tonight, at least not in front of the fans. Instead, we get a little bit of a look back to her NXT segment. She's coming out. She's going to be challenging Roxanne Perez for the NXT Women's Championship at NXT Battleground on June the 9th? That's coming up. And also, we're going to make it a little bit more interesting. At Against All Odds, Jordynne Grace has said that she's going to be having an open challenge. She said so much on Busted Open recently. So, first of all, your thoughts Tuesday night, Jordynne Grace arrives on NXT, and let's talk about the impending TNA WWE NXT partnership.
I haven't had to threaten anyone besides Tony Khan in a very long time, so I'm ready for this. When I tell you, if Jordynne Grace loses to Roxanne Perez, there will be hellfire to pay. I will find every one of you and go to your house and steal your left shoe, steal your left socks, and then throw them in the river. Okay? This is juicy. This is sports entertainment. Not the forbidden door, but the sequestered corridor, if you will. I'm here for it. If Jordynne Grace does not win every match, I will walk to Connecticut personally and be like, Mr. Hickenbottom and Hunter, I just want to talk. Just come outside, make sure you don't wear your jacket. I just want to talk. This is good. This is big brain plays. And I love the crossover. I could see a lot of crossover, but not at the expense of I'm so serious. I love wrestling, and I will do nothing. I will do nothing but complain on Twitter, realistically speaking. I'm just going to complain, but this is my empty threat.
Shaking her fist in the air.
Yeah, for those on the audio form, I was shaking my fist.
By the way, audio listeners, if you haven't already, leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening on. That gets us a little bit closer to your friends and the besties seeing that this is the place to be. This is where you want your post-show and your wrestling content here at Fightful. So go ahead, drop a 5-star review audio wise. And of course, if you're watching us live on youtube.com, why haven't you dropped that thumbs up yet? You should be. and subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to us at youtube.com/Fightful. We'll talk about Fightful Select in a little bit if you want to support us in other ways, maybe with your wallets. You can also do so by leaving a super chat. Any man get your question or statement read on the air. And of course, humperchats.com. Press to start. Tell them why, how, when, and where.
Go ahead and take your fingers and type in humperchats.com. That's HUMPERCHAT.com. You put your comments in there. You put your dollar amount in there. We get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds. We'll read your comment loud on air and we'll have us a funky good time. Humperchats.com. Phone, computer, we accept EBTs, your child, your liver, but no kidneys, because the last one we got just didn't work.
You gotta get extra kidneys. Otherwise, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, okay. But not if you've been drinking. So like only no kidneys for right now.
Pristine kidneys.
Pristine kidneys.
Pristine. Humperchats.com. Pristine kidneys. That's how we work here. By the way, if you're in the chat or maybe you're watching after the fact, when you drop a comment, tell us your dream forbidden door. I'm talking TNA, WWE, the prohibited portal.
Sequestered corridor.
Tell us what those dream matches are. Drop that in the comments. Let us know, not just in the live chat, but also after the fact, once we're off the air, once you're watching the after fact. I know some people are after that Steve Macklin versus Steve Cutler gimmick. We'll do that a little bit later. This is a little Karate Man Ethan Page gimmick, but that's a later fact. Let's dive right in. TNA Impact, May 30th. We open up Chris Bay versus Ace Austin. The ABC explodes. Well, not exactly. They had a match against each other because, you know, they need to fight.
I like what you said. They had a match. Because, okay, let me tell you what I liked about this match. I like the concept of it. You guys need to blow off steam. But there was no steam. I tried to get into maybe there was ring psychology that I was missing because I'm a jabroni. Maybe it's me. So it started off slow. People started getting respectful. And then Ace Austin was disrespectful. However, for this being, I guess, like a feud or I guess a blow-off match, there wasn't much steam. And at the end, I was waiting for Quadzilla Mr. Ace Austin himself to turn on Chris Bay. The chops were really stiff towards the end. That's what the match really picked up. But I don't know. I was expecting just a touch more, but I do appreciate that it started the seeds of dissension because Ace Austin is absolutely turning on him. I was looking at the TNA chat and people were like, oh, well, Chris Bay turns on him and goes to first class. No, they do not want.
That is an interesting idea. I wasn't paying attention to the TNA chat. I usually close that and work on other things, but it's an interesting concept. I did notice at the end of the match, by the way, Chris Bay did get the win on Ace Austin. They did they went for the fold misses, Bay hits the cutter, the Art of Finesse gets turned around, and then there's counter pins, and then Bay gets a crucifix pin on Quadzilla, gets the win. They show that mutual respect, and I respect it, and they get out of the ring, and then the last minute, they didn't really pay attention to it, but Bay just kind of looks untrusting of Ace Austin. There's kind of like a little look there. And I saw that and I was like, okay, commentary doesn't draw attention to it. Therefore, it's either not important now or it will be later. So I just wanted your thoughts. Is this going to be a breakup of ABC or is this just they're going to fight and then they're just going to keep moving?
I think, unfortunately, we are going to see the breakup of ABC. Not right now, a very slow burn. I do think that they're, as a tag team, I don't know what there is more for them to do. Realistically speaking, that's just me. I like them together as a team. But what do we do next with them? Have them win the tag titles again? You know what I mean? I'm thinking ahead 2 months, 4 months from now. You know, you're going to have to bring in all of these guys. And it looks like the portal passageway or whatever the heck we were saying?
Prohibited portal.
Prohibited portal might be a thing to reinvigorate the tag division. I think these two are a great tag team. However, I do think it might be time for them to, you know, maybe have Ace Austin and Chris Bay go after the world title or an X division. Both of them versus Ali would be a banger. You know, I don't know. I don't want them to break up. However, I can understand why they would. Joel Pearl, do you agree?
I mostly agree. I don't think it's time to break them up, but I do think that we're getting closer to the singles run for both men. And I'm ready for that. But also, TNA has got to refocus their tag division. We talked about it last week. Sinner and Saint come in. They have their match. They're a team worth looking at, but they've got to start rebuilding. The Nemeths aren't going to be the answer. There has to be more tag teams in TNA to build off of ABC's departure. I mean, split. They're not going anywhere. But if they split up, they got to do something to rebuild the tag division.
I agree. And I don't think that a Deaners 2.0 is going to be the way to go. However, I understand why you'd want to keep Jake something away from the main event scene right now, currently. I can understand that.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit. But first, Ziya Brookside takes on Steph Dolander. Really, the match was just back and forth until Steph goes under the ring, grabs a chair, pulls the chair out along with PCO. Ziya flies into PCO's arms. Steph's upset. She wants to do it on her own. PCO gets inadvertently involved. Steph Dolander gets rolled up by Ziya Brookside. Ziya Brookside gets the win. Post-match, PCO presents her with a Valentine. But apparently it's his heart. We're getting closer to it. Cresta, it's a wedding. Call your friends. Book the nicest, you know, limo you can get. And just get them ready for the wedding. PCO is getting married in Montreal at Slammiversary. It's happening. And this is the best mime sequence in all of wrestling.
I want you to see my notes that literally the first note is, I smell a PCO finish. And when it happened, I literally wrote, oh, look, it's PCO. It's almost like
it's happening, man.
You are going to get me kicking and screaming until this altar, because I know I will say this every week until it happens. I know when this happens, I'm going to be sports entertained. But until such time, I'm pissed. I don't know if I'm fake pissed or if I'm real pissed, because this was unnecessary. I thought Ziya Brookside was trying to sell stuff. The Lander was beating her up. And I'm like, girl, pull the chair, pull the... Aw, piece it off. I don't know how to feel. I'm kicking and screaming until the wedding happens. I don't want to be here. This is stupid. I hate this family.
Now, hold on. I got to bring this. This is a super chat, but I got to bring TNA Arnie had the most epic wrestling wedding ever. Now, you have two options.
Someone got shot at that wedding.
Yes, Billy, are we talking about the one where someone got shot or the one where the love triangle ended with Ali basically getting her man? Like, is this a Pepper Parks wedding or is this the Rosemary wedding? Like, come on. Is this a Johnny Bravo wedding? Come on. Come on.
Yo, that means at this point it's getting weird. So Gresham got to officiate it and spit out the black. This is getting weird, ladies and gentlemen.
Sammy's going to be the official. Oh, let's go. You can't top wrestling weddings. You can't. But every time they're going to try. And as long as Tommy Dreamer's out there going, I can't yell because I'm in a public space. But as long as Tommy Dreamer's there, the wedding is great. The wedding is perfect. We're going to do PCO.
Somebody has to get their head cut off. Because like at this point, I've seen someone get stabbed to death on TNA television. Someone get shot on TNA television. Taya walked into a closet and never came back out on TV. So what's next? What's that? Everyone gets bit every week. So you got to up the ante. At this point, you literally have to jump a shark.
Listen, here's the reality of it. If he can go by the time Slammiversary comes around, if anyone has a reason why these two should not be married, speak now, forever hold your peace. Matt Cardona comes out. And Cardona, you know, no, Steph, what the hell's wrong with you? Like, being brainwashed. And then we go back to what was supposed to be Cardona PCO. By the way, Matt Cardona is going to be on In the Weeds at 10:30 a.m. on Friday morning. That's tomorrow if you're watching us live. And maybe someone will ask him about it. It won't be me because I won't be on the show, but I will send the question to be asked on my behalf.
I love TNA, man. This is, oh man, I'm listening to you. I'm also reading the chat. Someone said Mickey James got hit by a train.
Well, that was great. Yeah, she was fine after that.
Dixie caught her with the table.
She was
what are y'all doing down there?
I don't know why y'all don't watch TNA. I'm just telling you, it's always the best.
TNA is truly, honestly, and I can describe WWE and AEW to somebody. I cannot describe TNA besides, please just watch this.
Just watch it. Just watch it and understand that nothing is serious. And that's what makes it TNA. That's why we watch it. It's not serious. It's perfect.
And they have the perfect pay-per-views called Hard to Kill, because that's them. Sacrifice, because that's them.
Because that's them. We got a super chat from King Reese saying there's not much in TNA, but it won't hurt to send ABC to AAA or to New Japan Pro Wrestling to accomplish some tag team titles. Listen, I'm for it. They don't really have the partnership right now, but if there is one down the future, I would love to see ABC get a little excursion time.
I agree with that. I wouldn't mind seeing them. I feel like they were in New Japan before for a tag tournament. If I'm not mistaken, when they first joined up as a team, it was them versus Motor City Machine Guns. So seeing them in AAA would be cute, or CMLL would also be cute. Seeing them in Mexico in period would be cute. So I think it's a stiff, but a different style. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I absolutely know what you mean. Listen, let's move on. We talked about the Jordynne Grace stuff. She's going to be on NXT. She's going to have a match against Stevie Tyler. That's going to be a fun one. And again, sorry, Stevie Turner. She was Bobby Tyler in the UK. My brain doesn't work at this hour. The Busted Open Challenge against all odds. Who's going to come out? Is it going to be an NXT star for Jordynne Grace at Against All Odds? What do you think?
I'm thinking if we're doing it. Hold on, I have to burp and I don't want to do that.
That's fine. While you do that, I do want to point out, yes, there is a partnership with TNA and AAA. The New Japan one is fine, but it hasn't been as a focus. So you're right. You could do ABC in AAA. But anyway, point is, Jordynne Grace against all odds, who's the match?
I think that in my mind, Jordynne Grace beats Roxanne, and Roxanne comes back to try to get her lick back at least. I think Roxanne is a phenomenal talent even before she got signed to NXT. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I said this on Twitter, but a Jade Cargill, come on. I want all the muscle mommies to fight. Please, muscle mommy supremacy. I need this for science, for research and respect purposes, okay? Get your guys' minds out the gutter. I don't know. There's two, like, do you have a main roster person? Is that a bridge too far? But then you have to have Jordynne win. Do you do an NXT girly? Who? Lyra Valkyria? I think that's the girl who just fought Nia Jax, because that girl's brawlic as hell too. But whoever fights Jordynne Grace, that's a tall order, bro. Like, the only one who can fight Jordynne Grace is Deonna Purrazzo. I don't care.
So people in the chat are mentioning Natty Natalya. I don't hate that. It feels like it's going to be an NXT star that they move over. This partnership, Jeremy Lambert and I talked about it on In the Weeds, and it feels like the way that it's going to work is mostly based on NXT. And that's okay. Like, WWE main roster have their own shtick going on. Let NXT and TNA do their mix-up. It's good for both sides. That being said, that women's roster in NXT is deep, and you have options. I'm still waiting for the Ariana Grace cameo where she speaks to Santino, because if you know, you know. And I want them to not even mention the fact that they know each other, but make every single reference to the family that they're part of.
I can get jiggy with that. But again, my only caveat here, and I agree with you that it's something that's going to work around NXT, but Jordynne Grace is like literally your TNA champion. I'm not saying she should go in and squash all them NXT girls. That's not what I'm saying. Because like, I'm not too familiar with NXT, the current product. I'll be fully transparent.
Wow.
But I'm
Big
such a
fan. Press the star.
I mean, if you ask some people, I am an AI generated by Sean Ross Sapp to get views. So if you ask some people, but I don't know. I don't know how you do this. I'm very intrigued. Like, I would love to see, even if it's an AEW person, like, oh, so we really mixing it up and testing the waters. I think this is an exciting time, no matter who it is, to be a wrestling fan, because we can do this all night long. I don't know who would realistically, in my humble opinion, who would realistically be a challenge where I'm like, all right, Jordynne, you got your work cut out. Only person I could think of is Lash Legend, but I don't know.
I was about to say Lash.
I don't know how she wrestles. I don't watch. I'm thinking of the height difference. She looks like she's mad swole.
That's the thing.
I've seen her promo where, like, I just don't know how she wrestles to make an educated decision on that. But I want to see what would transpire during that match.
So that's the thing. I was going to bring up Lash Legend kind of as like a half jokey troll, but also like everything you just said is exactly why I brought her up or why I wanted to bring her up, because she is much bigger than Jordynne Grace, but she's in great, you know, she looks good. She's in great shape. She's improved immensely in the ring. I could also see it being Lola Vice, because if Lola gets the victory at Battleground, they could probably set up Lola Vice versus Jordynne Grace. It's a match worth having, and Lola could lose the match, and that's it. It could be as easy as that.
I'm also thinking about women on that card who could lose the match. You know, even a Tiffany Stratton could lose that match. She would be fine. That would be a banger. I've seen Tiffany Stratton. That young lady can wrestle. That's the PG that she can wrestle. So I would be interested in that. Even, no, never mind. I retract the statement I was going to say.
Okay, then. You ready to move on from there?
Yes.
Khan, something, and Diener. Khan's looking for Santino, of course. And then he finds Jake something and Cody Diener. Diener breaks them up from fighting and says, hey, you do it another time, not here. They set it up. It's going to be next week is Jake something versus Big Khan. And Khan tells Jake something, don't listen to Diener. I used to be part of his group. I learned not to listen to him, blah, blah, blah. I loved that they connected these two guys with Diener. I was a big fan of the fact that they did a callback to the design, and they just enhanced the something and Diener storyline. What do you think?
Oh, I totally agree. When Khan told him I used to follow him, all I could think of is, yo, something. He's right, but also think about when he joined Violent by Design. You were his first victim, bro. I mean, I get Dina's trying to change, but this was a nice little bow. I think it's great. I think the Dieners would be a cute thing to get together, but no. That's my answer, but no. Not now. Maybe, like I said, like I was saying before, if we want to keep something away from the main event scene, which I can respect. I can understand. Yeah, there's a lot going on in the main event scene. Put him in the tag division to keep him also away from the X division title and Ali, who's going to campaign, and he's got Speedball. There's a lot going on everywhere. I think the tag division would be a great place for him if he wants to, but I don't know with Diener. But that would be something like, you can beat the good hands, but if you beat the Dieners, they're breaking up. You know what I mean? Like, hey, it's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a Hubbard chat actually from Patrick Moore saying, I'm new to TNA fandom. Zaya Brookside versus Anna Jay would be my forbidden portal. Thanks for helping me be a less dumber fan. Well, there are no dumb fans. There are just people who listen to us and get a lot smarter because of it, I hope. No, seriously, what do you think? Anna Jay versus Zaya Brookside? It's more of a, I guess, I don't know. Do you count Anna Jay as AEW or Ring of Honor at this point? Regardless, it's not a WWE and TNA match, but Zaya Brookside and Anna Jay is a very, it's a perfectly serviceable match.
I agree with that. And I will also echo with what Joel said. There are no dumb wrestling fans, no matter what the internet wrestling community will tell you. Okay? There are dumb opinions, but there are no dumb fans. We just have different opinions. Also, Zaya Brookside versus Anna Jay would be cute, because I know Anna Jay does have a mean, stiff streak to her. And Zaya Brookside has technical wrestling in her back pocket, but she's more of a flippy-do kind of girl, if you will. So that would be cute. I could see that going really well. Ty Conti versus Zaya Brookside, whenever she comes back from maternity, would be really cute as well.
I like that idea. Let's look to that. Let's also look at Jonathan Gresham versus Sami Callihan. Buddy. Everything here was perfect for every wrong reason. Frank Gastineau now wears the mask and the gloves. Ray Walt's like, Callahan lives in squalor, so he's fine for a match like this. And I'm saying
that the same.
It's everything we talked about last week. It's perfect for Sammy. He loves it. Instead, listen, Gresham wins the match. He gets the low blow after putting the ink on Sammy's hand, and Sammy's like, oh, what's this? First of all, I got a question. Like, if Sammy sees the ink, is he like, I can't do thumbs up, thumbs down now? What was the, what, why?
I want to make an anime reference, but I feel like any anime reference I make, you don't watch anime.
No stupid fans, though.
All right, so this is not for Joel Pearl. He got the curse of Orochimaru, so he couldn't move. If you've ever seen Yuasha, he had the soul sucking, the black hole in his hand, so he couldn't move. I also was a little confused by that because you knew what was coming. That's why you covered his mouth. So then why are you surprised when there's a Tajiri spawn in your hand? I don't.
Listen, the match was fine.
I laughed. I was forced to detain this match. My first note literally was, to be fair, Sammy was spawned from a septic tank, so I think he might be fine.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It did one thing, and that was accomplish that Jonathan Gresham's new character is being treated seriously. It is a little bit dumb, in my opinion, to have, you know, referees that are going to wear masks and gloves from now on. I would have just given that same referee the assignment every single time. The weird out of place referee, and just like cough up ink, whatever, it would have been fine. Instead, they're trying to integrate the other referees. I hope that they don't make it a full on story with the other refs, but for what it was, Callahan is like, all right, I can face the Ink Man, and the Ink Man won by kicking him in the dick.
I mean, there are three devastating moves in wrestling, and that's number one, dick kick, then the surprise roll up.
It's true. Oh,
and the second and the third one is the yam bag shuffle off the top rope. So two of them are dick punch. So,
and we saw two of them tonight.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So really, who's winning? Anyway, Gail Kim's with Giselle Shaw. It's a good little interview segment. They're sitting across at a table. They're kind of doing it podcast style. It's an exclusive interview because Giselle's comfortable with Gail Kim and so on and so forth. We basically get a follow-up, right? Giselle Shaw lost the match at No Surrender for the Knockouts World Championship. She had injuries. She took some time away. And then she calls TNA her home and says the Chantourage dissolved and now she was losing big matches. And so she has to find her start again. And she's got to figure out what she's fighting for. Gail Kim is like, don't be the quintessential diva. Be a knockout. And that's going to start next week. And buddy, if we are not doing Gail Kim versus Giselle Shaw to find out who the knockout is, what are we doing?
I think we take the long road there.
Please.
I do see Giselle Shaw being coached by Gail Kim, maybe even tagging with her till she gets to the point where she's like, I am a knockout, but I am also the quintessential diva. I can be both, and in order for me to be both, I gotta fight you, Gail. No shame.
I am the quintessential knockout.
Yes, yes. And in order to do that, I have to kill you. There can only be one Highlander. Please tell me you've seen that.
This is the end for Gail Kim. This is the handoff that Gail should want to have. Because Giselle Shaw has been so good with TNA for the last few years. Again, we remind people often, when we started doing the show, we were not her biggest fans. But over the course of the years, we've seen Giselle Shaw improve on the microphone, in the ring, as a performer, as a character. It's there. And it's time to really prove that she is worth putting that quintessential knockout moniker on and working with her.
I agree with that. I agree. I want to try to find the right words to say everything Joel Pearl has said is 100%. In the beginning, we're like, she needs a little this, she needs a little that. And now I think she's right up there in the contention with a Masha, with a Killer Kelly. Hell, even with the Jordynne Grace. She could be in your main, like, she could be your TNA knockout champion. Absolutely believable. Not even blinking an eye. I know she could do it. And I'm so happy for her. And I think if this is where we're going and she retires Gail Kim for good, because I heard she's retired before, but who knows? I think it'll be a good match. It might be a slobber knocker, you know what I mean? But it'll also force people who don't have respect for Giselle Shaw, which I don't know how. If you're not watching her matches, I could understand because you're You're not thinking. But if you're watching her matches, you're going to see this and be like, okay, she's really her. So Giselle Shaw's been her, will always be her. Get it together.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with this returning Giselle Shaw. She's going to be in the ring next week. We'll go down the list because next week is actually the 20th anniversary Impact show. We'll get to that in a minute. The System are backstage with Gia Miller. So remember last week, we talked about how the segment that they did with Joe Hendry was really well shot, but they were having problems with their static camera, with their main camera. It was obviously fixed this time around, and they brought it back. I like that this is a little extra production technique that only happens in System interviews where they have a second camera shooting another angle. I was a really big fan of that. Moose runs off to go find Matt Hardy, and really the point of this is that the System are like, we're going to beat Joe Hendry tonight. Eddie Edwards is the best, yada, yada. And then Frankie Kazarian walks into the shot, and he's like, say my name. Who am I? And Gia's like, you're Frankie Kazarian. He's like, nah, say my name. Normally, that would be Joe Hendry's turn. But instead, Gia's like, yeah, you're the king of TNA. This is Josh Alexander versus Frankie Kazarian. But also, give me King of the Mountain match, Slammiversary.
I will give you King of the Mountain match, but I do not like bullying Gia Miller for no reason. He's been bullying the ring announcer. He bullied Jade last week. He's bullying Gia this week. I get that you're having a midlife crisis, unk. But he has
to come out and bully Gabby LaSpezia. And then the following week, he's got to come out and he's got to bully Sam Laterna. And then after that, Christy Hemme comes in just for 1 week and he bullies Christy. He just needs to bully all the women who have ever been an interviewer backstage at TNA. Kazarian, he needs to bring his wife back. So happy.
Just to bully her.
Honey, I'm so happy you're in the TNA Hall of Fame. You're amazing. I love you. What's my name? And when she says Frankie Kazarian, he's like, yes, but also, what's my name? And then she just rattles off every weird nickname they actually have for each other as a couple. And then eventually he's like, no, baby, say my actual nickname. And then she's like, oh, like, King of TNA. Did you mute yourself? Did you fully just mute yourself and start talking again?
Sure did, because I'm Boy. Smarter than the average bear.
Smarter than the average wrestling fan.
There's no stupid wrestling fan. Stupid. That's a bad share impression.
Bring back Goldilocks. Do the same thing.
Bro. I feel like at this point, if you keep saying his name, you have to start a feud with Joe Hendry at this point. Like, at this point, Joe Hendry's like, I've been ignoring you for weeks, okay? And you keep calling me out. What's T? Okay, no one calls you the king because you're not, all right? Stop calling me out. And then they have a feud. I just want more Joe Hendry on my screen.
We got plenty of him. Let's move along. Macklin versus Santana 2 ends in a no contest. It was a good match. It was a fun match. My God. Macklin's busting out more stuff. And this is something that he and I talked about in our interview back in January, where he's like, but I'm a heel. And I was like, TFB, start doing more moves. I was like, watch the interview. You'll see. He does the cactus elbow from the apron to the floor. It looks good. He does he almost spikes Santana doing mayhem for all. It looked scary. Luckily, it's okay. Everyone's fine. The match is really good. They need to get a definitive winner in this feud, but it looks like we're going to divert because the Rascals come out, they attack Macklin, they attack Santana. Where are we at? What do you think of the match? And of course, what do you think of the Rascals getting involved with both men?
I will say that I am such a hypocrite. I am thoroughly enjoying Steve Macklin in this tweener. This is peak. Cause he did. Listen, if anyone who does the Samoa Joe Kenny Omega, why would I stand there? In the beginning of the match, Mike Santana's about to go run and dive out. He's like, I'm running. I don't got time for that. You do that. Somebody else is not doing it with me. I was like, damn it. This guy's good. Damn it. Son of a bitch. He's so good. He's so good. You got me, gal. You got me. I don't care. I'm a flip flop. I'm a hippo crip. Sorry.
Wow.
I saw somebody say it.
I see it. I see it.
This match is fine. We are going to have a tag team with these two, and that's going to be sports entertainment. Because just as a fan, these two do not like each other. These two do not like each other. And Macklin is known for walking out of matches. So how you gonna walk out of a match that I'm dragged into because of your beef? I don't even like these guys either, because like, yo, first of all, I'll beat you up, mind your business. So now I gotta tag with this guy that I already wanna beat up. If I'm Mike Santana, I'm angry. Everybody getting beat up. I'm pulling the Scott Steiner, everybody's chances drastic go down. I'm beating up everybody.
Mike Santana was on In the Weeds last Friday talking about a bunch of stuff, including TNA. He also did an interview with Sean Ross Sapp this past week. So Santana's been all over the couple of channels that we have here on Fightful. Check out those interviews. But him and Macklin seem to be tied together for better or worse. And that's good because they work well together, and then they complement each other, and then they beat the shit out of each other, and everything looks good. I like what we're doing. I like where it's going. I'm also, again, wondering, once they get past the Rascals, who's jockeying for which position? Obviously world title, but like, what's, how far is it? How far is the world title for both men once their feud ends and once the Rascals feud ends? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's providing Josh Alexander ain't back. There's no Alex Hammerstone. Jake something's not in the main event scene. Ali doesn't cash in. There's so many variables right now.
The Hammerstone stuff is still very interesting to me.
Just waiting for him to pop up. I don't know what we're doing with him. Like, I don't know what we're doing with him. I feel like him and Jake something. I mean, there's a lot of big meaty men in your heavyweight division. And in this one sense, I feel for TNA, because that's a lot of meat to juggle. Okay. Pun intended. Okay. That's a lot. And I don't know how you do this. And again, you still have Mustafa Ali in the background with that Ultimate X championship, and let someone like a Hammerstone or a PCO go after him. And he really like, I'm not dealing with this. I'm catching it. I just a campaign switcheroo.
Oh, we'll talk about campaign sing in a few minutes. Dude, I love that name. Jody threats backstage with Lars Fredrickson. Lars is like, I'm going to give you some coaching advice. And Lars Fredrickson was never a wrestler or a manager. Why does Lars give advice? Anyway, my feeling is Lars is going to absolutely break up these two, because now he's got Danny Luna facing the same match that Jody Threat had. Great, wonderfully.
I don't have any notes. I just wrote coaching, because it didn't feel like coaching. It felt like you were just being mean.
I love Jody. I love Danny. I don't love whatever this is with Lars. I love that Jody is like over the moon working with Lars Fredrickson. I know that's a dream, but like, other than that, I don't know why Lars Fredrickson is like managing this team. He has no official roots to wrestling.
I thought it was because of what like subculture stood for, like with the music and how each one of them were supposed to be a different form of like punk rock or metal or whatever it is. I get that he's trying to do like the beat him up, Rocky, you just gotta protect your neck. I get it, but it's not translating for me, I guess.
Yeah, I get it. We'll see where it goes, but that was just this week. Mustafa Ali and Leon Slater, let's get into that match real quick. Campaign Singh is officially part of the staff. The best name. He just dropped the H and we're back. We're back, baby. He does get involved, but I love that Ali is facing one Brit at Against All Odds. So what do? You slot him against a Brit for tonight in non-title action. Great match. Leon Slater is clearly a future star in this company. We know this. We've said this. We talk about it. Putting him in.
That's crazy.
He's a kid who has so much potential and opportunity, and I love it. That being said, the match itself, go out of your way to watch it. There's a spot where the finish is Ali swinging Slater's head around into the ring post and then hitting the 450, getting the win. That stuff was great. What do you think of the matchup?
This, if you were not sports entertained this entire wrestling program, this was the match. This was the match. This match was really good. That interesting offense with that face flattener combination where he pulled Leon Slater out from the top rope. I don't know what that was called, but I was sports entertained. That was so good. Also, that pop-up German from Ali, what the f- was that? I stares at WWE for fumbling the Ali bag. You're a clown for that, because this man, this is a fine wrestler. This is a fancy, fine wrestler. And I got to see some graps, man. I sound like Reg. I got to see some graps. And that was, this match was really good. And again, Leon Slater is 19. He is 19. This person is going to be a menace if they keep on keeping on. He's 19. He's 19. Was toe for toe with Ali, not missing a step. Bro, he has a bright future.
Chad's asking, when is he going to win the X Division Championship? Honestly, keep building him like this, and you can have it by the end of the year. You can have it by Hard to Kill. They're slowly integrating him into the process, and I'm fine with that. I want the crowd to continue to get used to him, not just as a performer, but as a character. That's the one thing that I really hope they start working on, is the Leon Slater character. What do we want to get behind him for? Let's flesh that out, and then titles come. I'm a big fan of giving a title to a fleshed out character and not just someone who's a really good wrestler and that's all we know.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I wouldn't even say that he would win it this year. I would say maybe next year, because I do agree with what you're saying. I think he has a lot of great in-ring potential, but there is still like, what are you? Who are you? You know what I mean? Like, Leon Slater is great, but he's not to say that they're the same person. That's not what I'm saying. So before you get all crazy, but Leon Slater, Kevin Knight, the X Division, right now there's no difference. And I know who Kevin Knight is. He's part of the Time Splitters. He's got his own cool little thing. Leon Slater is an amazing wrestler. That's all I know about him. So I agree with Joel. I think the X Division right now is still really stacked. So he's fine where he is. And the X Division might be stacked for until the end of the year, to be honest with you. Until Ali gets away from that title, it's going to be an issue.
You're right. And we might see Slater put into a tag team, Slater put into a grouping of people we don't know, which I wouldn't hate, because then it's a group of people working together as a character group. Again, I don't think that Slater should just be a man on an island going after whomever. Maybe it would be helpful to know who his friends are backstage and, you know, in front of the camera, thing like that. Like, as we build his character, there's room.
You could probably put him, I hate to say this, but if he wants to go heel, you could probably put him with First Class.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be offensive. I think it would give him an edge. You could see who he is. And he can either be like, actually, I'm not that much of a heel. And him versus Rich Swann would be real cute. And then him versus AJ Francis would be real cute. And then we can move him up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I love the idea of First Class trying to get Leon Slater and Slater just being like, nah, but I'll take you guys out. I'll take out Rich Swann. I'll take out former Impact World Champion. Like, there's space there to build Leon out of something like that. He is being courted by a group. We'll see where it goes. Next week's the 20th anniversary special. Impact's been on the air. I'm talking TNA Impact, the television show, will have been on the air for 20 years as of next week. They're doing Jordan Grace versus Allison Kay for the Knockouts Championship. Laredo Kid versus AJ Francis from First Class. That's for the Digital Media Championship. Giselle Shaw returns. Speedball Mountain takes on Ali and Campaign Sing. Great. And then Jake Something takes on Big Con. Campaign Sing is just the best stupid name ever.
It was really good. It's really good. I mean, he lost a lot of money in the casino, so he's no longer Champagne Sing. Now he Campaign Sing.
How do you think they thought of it? Do you think Champagne was just looking at the name and just being like, what if I just erase this letter? And I have an idea. And that's how we got here.
Honestly, I would love to believe in delusions and grandeur like that, but I have a feeling it's more like the Undertaker streak. It's like, oh, wait a minute.
We just stumbled upon it. Well, we stumbled upon our main event. Here we are. Edward Edwards takes on Joe Hendry. This match was important for one reason, and that was the finish. The match itself was really good. I will never take away from Edward Edwards as a performer or as a character, as someone who can get great heat. And Joe Hendry became further made tonight. All he had to do was two things. One, that finish where he takes the Boston Knee Party and turns it into a standing ovation. Powers Edwards up into the standing ovation. Great stuff. That's one. Step two, after he gets the pin, I love commentary putting over the fact that Joe Henry defeated a former world champion. That was fantastic. What did you think of Henry and Edwards? And we got to be working something in with Henry, right?
I am a Joe Henry stan. So let's start there. And his birthday is the day after mine. We're practically in love, and it's a one-sided love. He doesn't know this, okay? Honestly, I was a little offended he didn't have a music video. However, I understand. We talked about if he's going to be more of a serious character rather than a gimmick, at some point you either save the music videos or you stop doing them. And while I don't like change, I understand why they did it. That finish, the way he caught Eddie Edwards' Boston Knee Party, which is already a stiff, bicycle knee, not really. It's a stiff knee strike. It's a stiff knee strike. He caught it into a stalling standing ovation. I was like, oh, Joe Hendry's on one. Joe Henry is on one. At this point, no shade. Moose beats Matt Hardy, but you gotta lose to Joe Henry. You gotta lose to Joe Henry. And I feel like you would be a fool, TNA, to not do something with Joe Henry. Outside of wrestling, he is making so much conversation, so many ways. I don't mind using mainstream media to put eyes on a product. And he looks good. He wrestles great. He's funny. He's charismatic. He's got the talk. Bro, the look on Edwards' face alone after he lost to Joe Henry, upsettero, bro. And it... You can't beat that. You've got a star. You've been had a star. And now you're turning into something serious. At this point, again, full respect to Matthew Hardy, one with a great command of the English language and Old English included. But Moose got to beat him. Joe Henry got to beat him at this point. Because if you build up Joe Henry to lose, I don't know where the headquarters for TNA, but I might take a walk there too after I go to NXT headquarters. Okay? You know, I took a walk.
Let's talk about that final segment of the night. Moose finds Matt Hardy. Moose and Matt Hardy fight backstage. And they do the chair thing again. Matt Hardy gets taken out. Against all odds, main event is now in question. What did you think of this whole finishing segment? Is Matt Hardy out of the match? Or is something else going to happen? What's going on with the against all odds main event now?
All I could think in my mind is, you can't break Matt Hardy because he's already broken. So what are you doing? What are you doing? What are we doing? The Nemeth brothers are out. Are we now shoehorning in Henry? I would not do that so fast. You got a good thing going. I would not do that. I don't know. I don't think Matt is out of it. Again, you can't kill what is already dead like PCO and Matt Hardy is already broken. Yes, everybody's broken. Yes, I get it. So I don't know. I want Matt Hardy to face Moose. I want Matt Hardy to give Moose hell. I want Moose to win barely. And then I want Joe Henry to beat him up. I don't know if that's going to happen. They might put Joe Henry and capitalize on the momentum right now. But I think it might be a little too soon. Maybe one more pay-per-view with Moose defending. That could just be my two cents.
I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Hardy takes a dip in the lake of reincarnation. And comes back as Big Money Matt, and that's all we do just to get to the match.
Awoken Matt Hardy. He could be Matt Fax. Matt Fax.
The Slam a Tornado Matt Fax. Maybe. We'll see. I'm curious because, you know, I don't think they're pulling Matt. I don't know if they're going to pull Matt Hardy from this match, but right now the advertised main event is Moose versus Matt Hardy for the TNA World Championship. Do it now. Don't do it at Slammiversary. You have other matches to do at Slammiversary that are not this one. But I don't know. Maybe do you pull it out or do you, again, where does it go? I like that there's some intrigue here. I feel like there's just going to be the Matt Hardy shenanigans where he goes, takes a dip in the lake of reincarnation and the boat's there and after Brother Nero and Monsignor Benjamin and there's the piano playing Rebbe, all the bullshit. he'll do it and it's fine. People will laugh and enjoy it. But like, he's just going to come out as like Matt Hardy if you want him. Here we are. Right?
I'm with it. I mean, and you know, it's funny that you talk about this because I know that Moose is also with the shenanigans too, because Moose is a serious wrestler, but he's such an unserious person. It's like, I've seen Moose in unserious matches and this is right up his alley. He's going to wrestle like he's wrestling, but he's fully got his clown nose on.
Moose called Jordan Grace in the middle of Jordan's interview with Sean Ross Sapp today. Just putting that out there. That's an unserious person. Everyone wants to bury Moose. I'm not going to stop him at this point.
I don't know anything about that man. One moose that may live in a forest in Canada. But the one thing I do know about him is that he's an unserious person. He's a serious wrestler, but he's not a serious person. He's not in a serious. AJ Francis, too, I heard, is an unserious person as well.
Oh, so unserious. He doesn't want to battle rap Jeremy Lambert, but he is very unserious. Listen, we are also very unserious, but here we are. We're here every week, every Thursday, doing the TNA wrap-up and the post-show. Cresta Star, what you got going on?
Ladies and gentlemen, I finally got the okay to announce where I'm doing my other wizard job, but I'll get into that in 1 second. My name is Cresta Star. If it's your first time seeing me, I am here every Thursday and Saturday going over TNA with Joel Pearl on Thursday. And on Saturday, I do the Collision post-show with Iridian and Riccuccino. We talk all things AEW Collision. I have a second wizard job. I am a TikTok seller. You guys can find me over on TikTok at Cresta Star for myself, period, number one. Number two, if you want to buy clothes and you like fashion apparel, shop with Julia Fashion Avenue, New York City. Cresta Star is there. Just look me up. I'm there. I'm around. If that's too much work, go ahead and follow me on X, Twitter, Cresta the Star. It's below me somewhere here. There's a link tree in my bio. I love wrestling. I don't love you, but I love cheeky tendies. Joel Pearl, where can they find you?
But you love me, right?
Where can they find you, Joel Pearl?
Wow. I'm at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-R-L. I am all over in the weeds, Fightful Overbooked is our sister channel. That's where you can find me Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays at 10 a.m. talking about wrestling and a million other things. Listen, our show from this past Wednesday went off the rails, as it should. Matt Cardona joins us Friday on In the Weeds. Go check that out. And of course, I'm here with Cresta every single Thursday talking about TNA or after TNA PLEs or after TNA specials. By the way, last thing, this is a programming note. If you are a TNA Ultimate Insider, that's the $4.99 tier. It's gone. They're getting rid of it June 1st, which means against all odds, you got to watch it on either Triller TV or on TNA Plus. Okay? You can do the dollar a month TV feed. I'm still doing that personally because that's how I can watch TNA live. Instead, if you want the TNA Plus app, there's a bunch of promo codes and stuff that they're doing. That's what you're looking at, okay? That's the programming note. We have to go. I am probably going to get kicked out of this room. Till then, again, I am Actual Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-R-L, ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary. We'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.